You may be seated.
Amen. Thank you, worship team. Lord bless you guys. Wow. They have been here and at it since 6 a.m. this morning. Truly a gift from the Lord to us. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Well, today has been both different and good. We have not gotten together to celebrate Easter in 2 years. That's a long time. Similarly, Good Friday. And so we chose to celebrate, to observe Good Friday and Easter together today in a single service. I trust that the Lord is pleased. I think it has gone well. One of the things we did, and some of you might be thinking, wow, that was pretty neat, and others thinking, wow, that was pretty corny. The bird song that you heard. I don't know how many of you get up early. I mean early, are willing to, but especially this time of year. Get up early and go out and stand in your yard and just listen. Just listen to birds being birds, and by birds being birds, bringing glory to God through their song. Well, the bird song that we played this morning was actually a sunrise, a recording of a sunrise bird song in the Middle East. So that may well have been what it sounded like at the tomb. Perhaps Mary Magdalene and the other Mary heard sounds like that as they made their way out to the tomb. And I often wonder, this is my sanctified imagination, when the stone was rolled away, did Jesus just pop out? Or did he get up and stand in the doorway of that tomb now that the stone was gone and take a few deep breaths and listen to the birds for a few seconds as they worshiped him? I don't know. It proved me wrong. That was a joke. Listen, it is 12:07. You are awake. You're upright. Work with me. I have been accused of being a picky eater. My wife is saying amen. However, to set the record straight, in actuality, I am simply a man of discriminating taste. Take, for example, sweet and sour candy. I'm not a fan. In my thinking, candy, by its very nature, should be sweet, and preferably chocolate. Munson, somebody said. Absolutely. See, in my world, if it's not sweet, it's not candy. It's something else, a throat lozenge. Who knows? It's discriminating taste. If, however, let me put a maybe in here. These sweet and sour candies could be redeemable if they flipped it. And it was no longer sweet and sour, but instead sour and then sweet. Because at least then you'd know that at the end, you get a reward. Suffering would end in sweetness. Well, I'd like you to consider that Good Friday and Easter are like sour and sweet candy. If the bitterness of Good Friday were not followed by the sweetness of Easter, the events of the day would be unbearable. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 is addressing in the church at Corinth a problem, and that is that a number of people there had come to believe that there was no resurrection. And so he writes, starting in verse 12, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there's no resurrection from the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you're still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than anybody else." Or, in other words, if this life is all that there is to this life, life ain't so grand. The Apostle Paul, continuing his argument here, says in 1 Corinthians 15:32, "If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." If the dead aren't raised, what's the point? What's the point? Paul here is actually referring back to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 22. Israel was in rebellion against God, in disobedience against God, and God has warned them, called them to a time of repentance, lest judgment come. They ignored that warning. And so Isaiah says, the Lord Almighty, called you on that day to weep and wail, to tear out your hair and to put on sackcloth. But look, there's joy and revelry, slaughtering of cattle and killing of sheep, eating of meat and drinking of wine. Let us eat and drink, you say, for tomorrow we die. These people were facing judgment, but they were facing it with unbelief and levity. Excuse me while I cough. May have discovered that my voice is good for three services. Who's got a sweet and sour candy? Thank you. Otherwise known as a throat lozenge. Blue. I was expecting red. As dark a day as that first Good Friday was, it was a very necessary darkness. Because on that day, in going to the cross, Jesus Christ took our judgment, the judgment we rightly deserve, upon Himself. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, stepped into the darkness of our sin, stepped into the darkness of our separation from God, and conquered both the penalty and the power of sin. You see, that's why Jesus struggled like He did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Three times He prayed, "Lord, Father, if there be any other way, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus, remember, is the second person of the Trinity. He is God the Son. He is God come in the flesh. He took on a human nature, but he always remained God. As God, he is holy, holy, holy. And so in going to the cross, he, for the first time in all eternity, took sin on himself. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read there that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's why Jesus cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? My God, why have you forsaken me?" For the first time in all of eternity, the Son of God sensed his Father turning away. The first time. The only time. And the reason for that is that a holy God cannot even look upon sin. And Jesus at that time had been made sin for you and for me. Incredible. Incredible. The depth of the love of God for us. It is the depth of the darkness of Good Friday that makes the light of Easter all the brighter. It is the sourness of the crucifixion and death of Jesus that makes his resurrection, and by extension, our promised resurrection, all the sweeter. Sour, then sweet. First Corinthians 15, starting in verse 50. Paul says, "I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable." Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We will all be changed. Everything will be changed. You see, there is far more to this life than just this life. Paul said, if only in this life we have hope in Christ, we're to be pitied. Pitied more than all others. Sometimes this life that we live can be good. It can be really good. But the road of life is full of potholes. Some so deep they will swallow you whole. And there are seasons, sometimes extended seasons, like the season of COVID-19, when it seems like life is nothing but potholes. But there is far more to life than just this life. Sometimes life is to be enjoyed, to be savored, to be celebrated. Sometimes it is to be endured, and we are simply to persevere, to press through. But listen, Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable, and we will all be changed. We'll all be changed. Totally, fully, completely. We'll be changed. You will end up having that head of hair you've always wanted. The arthritis will be gone. You'll never have to go to the dentist again. And I want you to know that heaven is not clouds and harps. It is the presence of God. It is the mystery of standing in God's presence. It is spending an eternity discovering more and more of who God is, the depth of His love, the immensity of His majesty and holiness. It's going to be a wild time. On that day when we are changed, we will step into abundant life, the fullness of life, the fullness of joy we were created for, because we will have stepped into the presence of our living God and Savior. Until then, we say with Paul, 2 Corinthians 4, we know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with him and present us with you in his presence. Therefore, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles, and listen, in the light of eternity, this COVID thing, as long as it's been, as big a drag as it is a light and momentary trouble. We will get through this. We will come out the other side. It's already taken longer than I thought it would, and just about everybody else. But there is an end. Light and momentary troubles. These troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. How do you do that? By faith. Reading in the book of Hebrews of Moses. Moses, who led Israel out of Egypt and had a few bad days himself. It says of Moses that he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. In faith, he kept God before him. In faith, he fixed his eyes on the unseen. Count on it. Do not lose heart. There is far more to life than this life, especially this life recently. And the reason there's far more to life than this life is because Jesus is crucified and resurrected. Sour and sweet. The sweet's coming. Amen. Stand and bless the Lord.